We're on Daf Tzadi Zayin Amud Beis, and we're almost up to the Mishnah, but not quite. And this Mishnah, Mirtz Hashem, will take us back to Masechta Shabbos. But before that, we're up to the second of the wide lines, Masiv Rav Yosef. So in order to understand Rav Yosef's kasha and his quote from the Braisa, let's just reiterate what we said yesterday, that the heter of Rabbi Yehuda to pass this chavis from one hand to the other, chutz l'tchum, is based on the fact that the mayim itself in the chatzer was taken on Shabbos from a mayon or a nahar, and therefore didn't have any definite shvisa. It wasn't kona shvisa with the onset of Shabbos because nobody had possession of the mayim, and that the chavis is now batel to the mayim, which again was paradoxical because you would think that the chavis is much more chashiv than the mayim, and there are rishonim who want to insist that we're talking about a case where the chavis is not chashiv. But other than that, we're going to assume that there's some sort of halachic mechanism by which the chavis is batel to the mayim, because the chavis here is only a method of transporting the mayim. He wants to get the mayim from place to place. And we try to compare that to the case in the Mishnah at the end of Beitza, where one neighbor passes on mayim to another on Yontif, and it goes chutz l'tchuma, and the recipient uses the mayim for making a dough or using it as a tavshil for a mayim and a tavshil to cook our cooking. And we had differentiations between that case and our case. That case, it was not be'en because the mayim was in nikar. It was already lost in the iso, lost in the tavshil. But here we're talking about mayim be'en that he's transporting chutz l'tchum. But the answer was that the mayim itself has no tchum, and the chavis is batel to the mayim. Masiv Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef has a braisa. Rav Yehuda omer bishayara nosein adam chavis lechavera vechaver lechavero. And the word bishayara is now putting an entirely different spin on Rav Yehuda. And Rabbi Yehuda is allowing passing this chavis from one person to the other in that row of human beings because it's a shayara. And what is a shayara? A shayara is a minimum of three people, literally a caravan. In other words, there's a group of three people traveling together. And obviously they're in desperate need of water, especially if they're out in the hot sun in a desert condition. Now, we're not talking about pikuach nefesh here. Then you'd be allowed to violate any malacha d'oraisa on Shabbos. Forget about tchumen. We're going to be matir tchumen because of the extreme, shall we say, discomfiture of being very thirsty if they don't have access to water. And if the only water is chutz l'tchum. So we're not going to allow just simply blatant violation and carrying of the water. We're going to allow this kind of a pass it from one person to the other. And that's the way that we're going to facilitate getting the water to where it has to get to for the people in the Shayara who have to drink the water. But that's a whole different approach to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda now Mishnah, the way it's been interpreted up till Rabbi Yosef's Braisa, was based on the fact that the Mayim has no Kinyan Shvisa, there's no problem of Tchumen with regard to the Mayim, and the Chavis is bottled to the Mayim. I mean, if that be the case, there's no reason to introduce and condition it on a shayara. What difference to make whether it's one individual or it's a shayara? And a shayara seems to be a mitigating factor in terms of the thirst and the need for the mayim. We're talking about a special matir of hautsa chutz l'tchum in order to prevent a group of Jews from suffering from thirst. And again, it's got to be a group of Jews. We're not going to be so flexible with the Issa Tchumen for the sake of one Jew or even two Jews. It's got to be a minimum of a Shayar of three Jews. I mean, in this case, we can interpret the Braisa as referring to Mayim that was Kona Shvisa. and yet we're going to be allowing removing the mayim from the tchum on Shabbos for the sake of the shayara. B'shayara in Rav Yosef is medayik in the Brice. The Brice allows this passing on chutz tchum for the sake of a shayara, which is a group of people, and we're going to be mekil, and we're going to be matir, mayim, even though we're taking the mayim chutz l'tchum. But shalo b'shayara lo, we don't have any leniency for one individual, or shall we say two individuals, but there's less than a shayara, and we're not going to allow taking the chavetz chutz l'tchum. Now the Mishnah did not stipulate that we're talking about a shayara. Apparently the Mishnah allowed a heter, even if there was no shayara. Now we could say that perhaps the Mishnah is talking about a case where the mayim has no kinyan shvisa, and that itself could explain the difference between the Mishnah and the Braisa. But the Gemara is not going to go down that pathway, because we assume, and that's Rav Yosef's premise, that this Braisa is coming to interpret the Mishnah, and it's merely adding one element to the Mishnah, a very critical element that was omitted from the text of the Mishnah, and that's very often what the Braisa does, and that is the word Shayara. To tell you that what motivates Rabbi Yehuda to be matir the chutz l'tchum is a special heta because of the tzorach of the Shayara. And we're being mekil for the sake of harbe b'nei Adam who need mayim, and we're going to allow in this particular methodology to get the mayim chutz l'tchum and make it available to the Shayara. So don't tell me, says Rabbi Yosef, that our Mishnah and Rabbi Yehuda's kula is based on some sort of mayim in a very unusual case where he drew the water from the spring on Shabbos, etc., etc., with the bittel and so forth, and we quote the Mishnah in Hotzav, Shabbos. Forget about all that. We're talking about the need for water on the part of a shayara, of Harbe B'nei Adam. That's a special heter, but we're really violating the Isur of Tchum. You've been working, you know, somersaults in the air to try to show how Rabbi Yehuda circumvents the Isur Tchum, and there's no violation of Tchum, and the reason for that is because of X, Y, and Z. Forget about all that. Rabbi Yehuda is very much aware of the fact that we are violating the Isur Tchum. He's going to allow for that heter to violate the Isur Tchum in a very specific set of circumstances. Elomer of Yosef ki tana nami b'masnisim b'shayara tana. We've got to reinterpret the Mishnah in the light of this braisa. We're going to qualify the Mishnah and review this heter of halachas hachavis from yad adam liyad chavero is only based on the fact that we're talking about a shayara. The chavis itself was kona shvisa. It could be the mayim was not kona shvisa. That was the answer of Rava before. And that's not going to help me necessarily to allow you to carry the chavis. We're not going to operate now midin bittel, but rather for the sake of a shayara, they were matir, and they allow you to take the chavis. Now here we have an interpretation of Rashi. Rashi wants to say that although bittel works in certain cases, but that's only what we call potter aval osur. If you remember this discussion at the end of yesterday's shia, that lechatchila, as far as an isa drabon is concerned, we're not going to allow you to activate the principle of bittel. But now we have a combination of two drabonos, and here's where Rav Yehuda will add the element of shayara. What are the two drabonos? First of all, if the mayim was not kona shvisa, that was the interpretation of Rava, then we could apply the principle of bittel, that the chavis itself, although it was kona kiragle habaylim, a kinyan shvisa on Erev Shabbos, and now we're taking it outside of the tchum, we're going to allow it because the chavis is bottled to the mayim. But chavis being bottled to the mayim would only reduce a doraisa down to a potaval aser to a drabana. Now, on top of that, we have an isa tchumen, and the isa chutz tchum is also drabana. So we have two drabanans here. One is that the Mayim was not going to Shvisa, and therefore the Chavos could be bottled to the Mayim. It's only a conduit to transport the Mayim. And number two, the Issa Tchumen, if we violate in the worst case scenario, is not a catastrophe. It's only a violation of an Issa Drabbanon. So we're piling up two Drabbanons. And now Rabbi Yehuda adds the Makabe Patish, the Machriya Sakaf, is the Shayara. That for the sake of the need of the water, because the Shayara is a group of people that are thirsty, they have to have access to the water, then Rabbi Yehuda is going to allow Legabe Shayara to apply the principle of Bittul, and since the Mayim is lo kana shvisa, because they access the water from a spring, we're going to allow you to be motzi, not only the Mayim, but even the Chavis Chutz L'Tchum. And even though, midrabbanon, the Chacham would not allow you to carry the Chavis Chutz L'Tchum, even despite Bittul, because Bittul is only a bidyamid situation, but not a lechatchila, but they're going to remove that isur in the case of a shayara. Says Rav Yosef, therefore, that if there is no shayara, then even Rav Yehuda would not allow you to be molech the chavis chutz l'tchum. We're not going to apply the principle of bittul of the mayim, that the chavis is bottle to the mayim, because at least on the drabbana level, we suspend that heter of bittul. But we're going to go back and activate the heter of bittul, says Rav Yosef, in a case of a shayara. Now here I want to share with you a note in the name of the Rashba. The Rashba writes that l'divrei chachamim b'mishnah, gam b'nei shayara, hareihem kishar kol adam, v'lo hikilu lahem. And we're talking about a shayor, according to the Chacham of Rabbi Yehuda, afilu b'isu tchum d'rabbanon, mipnei she'ein kan chashash shel pikuach nefesh, el rak koshi shel tzomei l'mayim bilvad. Now again, I wonder, and I'll try to prove this to you as we go along, but right, just pedagogically, I'm speaking out the svara, and then I'm going to try to prove this to you. I question if the Rashba is operating with the same principles or premises that we were operating with. We were influenced by Rashi, and Rashi is saying that even in Rav Yosef's Braisa and the reinterpretation of Rav Yehuda and Mishnah, the Mayim was Mayim Shalokana Shvisa, therefore the Chavis is bottled to the Mayim, although that's enough to mitigate on a deraisa level, it would not reduce it to a mutter situation, and therefore we need shayara. And now you're going to tell me that the chachamim are going to say the following: that even in a case of a shayara and heavy called tzomek, lechula mayim, but there's no pikuch nefesh, we're not going to allow activating the principle of bittul for the sake of being mater and iser tchumin derabbanon, despite the suffering of the tshayara, of the tzibur, so to speak. I mean, tshayara is not a tzibur, but I suspect that the Rashba is not operating with bittul. The Rashba is understanding that Rav Yosef is reinterpreting, based on this brisa, the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda and the machlokas of Rabbi Yehuda, the Chacham and Mishnah. And we're not talking about a case of bittul, we're not talking about a case of mayim shalosh shavsu, and we're left with a pros pasha, direct, simple, straightforward iser tchumen. And now the question is, can we be mater the iser tchumen for the sake of the tzimaon of a chabur, of a shayor? And here's where the Chacham say that, tchumen is ke'en d'oraisa tikkun. It's on a very high level. It's not just a regular drabbanon. And we're not going to overlook a drabbanon for the sake of tsar, of tzima'on. And on a footnote, I would say that's similar to the case of trufa on Shabbos, that if a person is very uncomfortable, like I'm not here to paskin shilas, so please don't draw any conclusions, but let's say a person has a headache, he's got a nose ache, he's got an earache, we're not going to allow him to take over-the-counter medicines in order to relieve his suffering, his discomfiture. He's not a pikuach nefesh, he's not a chol she'im bo sakon even, he's not even getting into bed. He's got a headache. I mean, again, I feel for him. Headaches are not comfortable. I don't have to tell you that. Maybe if he has a migraine headache, chas v'shalom, then we would allow him to take medicine on Shabbat. But I'm just saying, hayu dvar me'olam, in the Rashba's frame of reference, the fact that the Chachamim seem to be very cruel, so to speak, and they're not allowing a violation of an Isur d'Rabbanan of Tchumin for the sake of the Tzima'on and the discomfiture of a Shayora, that seems very cruel, but I'm just saying, hayu dvar me'olam. But I'm just suggesting that that's only, I'm going to try to prove this to you, that's only because the Rashba is not operating with the premise of Rashi, that we have an additional to the Issa Tchumim, we have a fallback position of the Mayim was not going to Shvisa and the Chavis is bottled to the Mayim, which would again add another Durabbanon. So you have a double Durabbanon and Simon of the Shayara, and the Rabbanon are going to be so cruel and so insisting L'chumra. But rather, Rav Yosef is interpreting in the light of this price a whole new pshat in the Mishnah, and we're not talking about Mayim like Rava had it, Shalo Kanu Shvis. So here I want to read to you the next footnote. He says, Pirashnu, and that's the way I originally presented the sugya, Al Pi Rashi, Shalo Pirushalo Hitiru El Ba'ofet Shachavis Betela Legabi Amayim. So we have another element in the equation, and that is that the Chavis is Betela Gabi Mayim, plus we have the Shayara, and therefore we're going to be making. And he tells you to look up in other sources that we're not going to say that this is called an Ones, because the Shayara needs it, and Lo Gozer Rabbanan Issur Tchumin. We're going to have to introduce another element, and that is Bittel. Now he quotes a Ravid. A Ravid beer, a whole new pshat in Shayora. Shakavona lemachneshel anshei tzava hayotzim lemilchama. Now here we have a sugya, which I don't think we got to learn together back on Daf Yud Zayin. I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong. I don't know if we learned Yud Zayin together. But the Gemara has many exemptions and leniencies that apply to the Machne Yisrael, the Machne Anshei Tzava. For example, they don't need Netilas Yadayim. Now, again, what that means is that Netilas Yadayim before the Suda or after the Suda, you have to take a look in the Suda. Anyway, there were many kulos. One of them was Erev Chatzeros, that you can carry from one Chatzah to the other on Shabbos without an Erev for the Anshei Tzava. So now we get to the Ravid's understanding of Shayara, and he's talking about Anshei Tzava, Hayotzim L'Molcham, Tzava Rabbi Yehuda, Shehitiru Lorak Erev Chatzeros, but Afilu Erev Tchum. Rabbi Yehuda saw in the Sugya Daf Yud Zayin, where the Gemara establishes that for the sake of Anshei Tzava, they were Matir Erev Chatzeros, meaning you're allowed to carry from one Chatzah to the other without an Erev. Likewise, Rabbi Yehuda, by analogy, thought that they would be matir for the sake of Anshei Tzava, the Issa Tchumen, and the need for an Erev Tchumen. Mipdei she'erev Tchumen d'Rabbanon, and it's like Erev Chatzeres, which is d'Rabbanon. Ula Pirush Zeh, and according to the Ravid, Afilu imachavis v'amayim shneim kanu shvisa, Rabbi Yehuda went as far as to say that even though this is a blatant, straightforward violation of Issur Tchumin, nevertheless, Itiru lo tziyam chutz l'tchum, so the Mayim and the Chavis were both going to Shvisa, and we're carrying them both chutz l'tchum, without an Erev Tchumin, because the Erev Tchumin is not going to allow you to carry this transported chutz l'tchum, so basically we have no Erev Tchumin now, but for the sake of Anshei Tzava, Lo gazru rabbanan isu tchumim v'shayar shalan tzei tzava lefi shitas Rabbi Yehuda. That's the way the Ravid understood Rabbi Yehuda. V'chachamim hacholkim al Rabbi Yehuda. V'yamru she'af b'shayara, which according to the Ravid means an tzei tzava lo hitiru lahotzi chavis imayim chutz l'tchum. Sovrim. The Chachamim hold sheikilu Chacham l'bnei amach rak b'erev chatzeros, mishum shehu gzera she'ein la ikar min haTorah. Aval lo itiru lehem Chachamim isut chumin sheyesh lo ikar min haTorah kimavur liel. Rabosai, this is very fundamental, especially for a brisker Talmud Chacham, because we're always curious, can we categorize the Rabbanans on the different categories? Or are they all basically Miksha Achas? And we've had this, and we've discussed this on many occasions, except not on Zoom, in a more comfortable setting. And that is that there are two types of Rabbanans. For example, whether or not we apply bittul to an isur d'rabbanan. So the Gemara has at the beginning of Beitza that if a branch of a tree falls on Yontif, you're allowed to mix other trees, right on Yontif we make a fire, so we have logs that were prepared before Yontif, and they are muchanim. And now, a log that was not mukhan, it's called nolad in the Gemara's language, falls from the tree on Yontif, and you want to now use that log to feed your fire on Yontif. And the Gemara says, Mar b'olav eitzim uvat. And the question is, what we call bitul min bimino, but nevertheless we have a prohibition, and the Gemara says, how are you allowed to do this? And the Gemara answers that mukta is ein lo Ikar minatora. So it could be that if you have, let's say, for example, Tevel Durabbanon in Shar Perosa Ilan, and the Torah did not obligate you in Trumas and Maestras because it's not Zeisim van Novim, and it's certainly not one of the five species of grains, it's only Durabbanon. So there, we're going to apply all the strictures of Bittul, and we're going to limit Bittul. You're going to have a rove, and you're going to have maybe shishim, and you're not allowed to do it l'chatchila. Why? Because that's yeshlo ikar ben haTorah. Tevel is an entity which the Torah recognizes, and now the Rabbanan extend that to Ishar Peros, to Yerokos, to Kitnios, whatever it might be. Masha enke muktzas ein lo isar ben haTorah. And Tosfos in Masechta Kiddushin applies the same logic to what's called Chulin Shenichtu Bazara, according to Rabbi Shimon, because Rabbi Shimon holds that Chulin Shenichtu Bazara is mutter, and the Rabbanan asked it. And Tosa says that's called Ein Lo Iker Min HaTorah. It's a brand new invention of the Chachamim, and you could apply Kulis and Bittul and other dinim as well. So again, this is a breakthrough of sorts, that we can take the Rabbanans and say they're not all Miksha Achas, they're not all made of the same, you know, the same material. And there are the Rabbanans, Yesh Lam Iker Min HaTorah, the Rabbanans, which is Ein Lo Iker Min HaTorah. And here, the Rashba, in the name of the Ravid, makes a fundamental distinction, which is so important to Masechta the Eruv, in between two types of Eruvs. There's an Eruv Tchumen and an Eruv Chatzeros. And an Erev Chatzeros is called Ein Lo Iker Min HaTorah, an Erev Tchumen is called Yesh Lo Iker Min HaTorah. Now you might ask, what do you mean Yesh Lo Iker Min HaTorah? Where does it say in the Torah that you can't take something and carry it Michutz L'Tchum? Or, for example, you can't walk Chutz L'Tchum? So the Gemara has a drasha for this. Al Yetze Ish Mimkomo B'Yom HaShabbos, which the Gemara says on a Doraisa level is referring to Hotza'ah. And al tikri al yetze ishmim komo, al yotze ishmim komo, because again, otsa is a malacha grua, and we would not derive Hotzah from Mishkan. We need some sort of basis in the Torah for the Isra Hotzah. And the Gemara derives the Isra Hotzah, Mershus HaYach, which is the Rabbi, vice versa, from Al Yetze Ish Mimkom of Yom HaShabbos. But the literal translation of the pasuk is Al Yetze Ish Mimkom of Shabbos, that a man can't leave his makom, which means he cannot walk beyond his tchum. So the Rabbanon, based on what we call Pshuta Shel Mikra, derived the conclusion that there's an Isra Chutz L'tchum. In the case of Erev Chatzeros, the Chatzer has three machitos. It's open on one side to Rishus HaRabim, and on a Deraisa level, it's a full-fledged Rishus HaYochid. And the Gemara calls that, according to the Ravid, Ein Lo Iker Men HaTorah, because the Torah defines a Chatzer as a Rishus HaYochid, and the Rabbanon are creating a new Rishus, which is a Makom Sha'osel Etaltel B'Tocha, which is not a Rishus D'oraisa. On a D'oraisa level, we have a Rishus HaYochid. You're allowed to carry a Rishus HaYochid from one side of the world to the other side of the world. So the Ravid says, Nafkibina L'gabi Anshei Tzav, that amongst these coolers for the Anshei Tzav, we're going to allow carrying from one Chatzah to the other, which is basically on a D'oraisa level, exactly what you're allowed to do, to carry from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaYochid. There's no Rishus in between. And the Rabbanon is considered, in the language of the Ravid, for Erev Chatzeros, Ein Lo Iker Ben HaTorah. Again, obviously, you and I could have said otherwise. We could have said that since the Torah says you can't carry into Rishus HaRabim, so if you have a Chatzer, and many different batim are using and they're accessible to the Chatzer, it's like a Rishus HaRabim. And the Rabbanon just took it one step further, like in the case of Trumas, Shar Peros, or Yerokos, etc. But this is a major breakthrough of the Ravid. And he derived from a Sugya Daf Yud Zayin that the Rabbanon, they alleviated the Isur of Tchumin, of Chatzeros, of carrying into a Chatzer without an Eruv for the sake of the Anshei Tzav. So Bishlema, I understand Netilas Yadayim. Let's take Mayim Achronim, for example, which is, I think, the final maskota there on Daf Yud Zayin. And they alleviated the Anshei Tzav of Mayim Achronim. They don't have to run around looking for Mayim Achronim. It's enough that they got enough for Mayim Rishon. But now, the Gemara on Daf Yud Zayin extends that heter to Erev Chatzeros, to allow the Anshei Tzav to carry from one chatz to the other without an Eruv. And now, Rabbi Yehuda, according to the Ravid, is going to extend this kula even to the case of Eir Tchum. So why did the Rabbanon object? And the answer is, the Rabbanon say, Ad kan lo patarnu es anshei tzova ela mi Eruv Chatzeros. Ava liftar es anshei tzova mi Eruv Tchumim. And again, we're talking about Mayim and Chavis, both of which were Kona Shvis on Erev Shabbos. So we have an Isa Tchumim here. There's no possibility of applying Bittul. And we're not going to allow even for anshei tzova to carry me Chutz Tchum. So Rabbosai, whenever we learn Masecht Erevin as far as Tchumen is concerned and the requirement of Erev Tchumen, and we're going to see all sorts of chumras in Erev Tchumen. For example, you're not allowed to rely on an Erev Tchumen if it's Tevel now and you'd have to be Mafrish Truma in order to make this food accessible. Or for example, we have one shita, this was in the Daf Yomi yesterday, that if you have a country somewhere on the face of the earth where basar tzalui, you don't have to follow this if you're not into Daf Yomi, just you'll get the general gist of it, the details you can leave out. But if basar tzalui, roasted meat in Paras, in Persia, they eat it as a separate, which I call it, a main course. And if you eat something as a main course, then that takes up your su'udah, and therefore you need a larger volume of basar in order for it to qualify as an erev tchumen. That's going to generate an isur, or shall we say an invalidation of the erev, even beyond the confines of Persia. And it's not enough to have what we call l'lafes bo'as hapas, which is a smaller volume of mazon shtei sudos. We're going to need the full mazon shtei sudos of a full volume of meat, because in paras they eat meat as a separate meal without embellishing it with a pas. You know what's called l'lafes bo'as hapas. Again, I'm just throwing out one example. There are many, many examples of chumros that apply to Erev Tchumen, and one wonders why the Rabbanu was so tight-fisted when it came to Erev Tchumen, raising the ante and the requirements, the restrictions, and conditions for an Erev Tchumen. But the Raven might give us a little bit of an insight, because the Chachamim rejected Rabbi Yehuda as far as allowing Tchumen for a Shayora. What's the Shayora on Sheitzava? We have many coolers for an Sheitzava. Even Erev Chatzeres we're going to waive, but we're not going to waive the requirement of Chutz L'Tchum according to Chachamim, because it's called in the Ravid's language Yeshlo Iker Min HaTorah, because the Torah says Al Yetzei Ish Mimkom of Yom HaShabbos, even though we reinterpret that to mean Al Yotzi, but Al Pi Pshuta Shel Mikra means Al Yetzei, and that generates Isur Tchumin. Rabbi Akiva derived from that pasuk Isur Tchumin Doraisa. The Rabbanu rejected it because that pasuk Al Pi Pshuta Shel Mikra is referring to Hotzah, not to Tchumen. But you know what, Rabbi Osei, half of this Masechta is dedicated to Tchumen. I mean, imagine if I ask you, how do you calculate Tchum? Means that you can't go beyond 2,000 Amma. Where is the outer boundary of the city at point which we start calculating the heter that you're allowed to go another 2,000 amah? Where is the boundary of the city? On this you could spend blot after blot after blot of Gemara. It's called the nuns. Like, all the nuns. And I'll tell you the truth, Rabbi Osai, I'm just sharing with you my own challenges here in Masechta Erevin. There are two blot in Masechta Erevin about how to calculate Tchum, which I'll probably have to live to 150 to figure out those two blot. And I have a neighbor up here, one of my closest friends from childhood, who is an expert in astronomy, even though he's an actuary scientist by profession. And I'm begging to find within this pandemic situation that he would sit down with me and give me a crash course in astronomy. But by the way, even if I had taken astronomy 1.1 in college, which I didn't, I would still not be able to figure out this sugya, because the astronomy of the Gemara is not the same as the astronomy of the scientists. This is based on the Tkufas of Shmuel, and it's enormously complicated. And I finally gave up. At one point, I just read through the English translation with the footnotes, and that was it. But I was just reading it like a tukey. And it's all about figuring out the tchum. There's full sugis about which batim are considered halachically the last batim to extend the boundaries of the tchum and begin calculating 2,000 amma. Full sugis. It does the bias exceed the last bias by more than 70 and 2/3 amas? And you have a question, what if no one's living in the bias and it was a ruin? And can you calculate that bias? And what happens if you have a city which is a round city? So you have a bias here and a bias there, and it doesn't... Sugis upon sugis. Why are we racking our brains? And half of the Masechta, which has been very challenging on its own, is dedicated to Tchum. And to Erev Tchumen. It's only the Rabbanan. I mean, you could ask the same question about Masechta Beitza, Masechta Megillah, and many, many other Masechtas, that are dedicated to the Rabbanan. But here, it's just like wild. But at least according to the Ravid, the Chachamim rejected Rabbi Yehuda, and they held that Erev Tchumen is Yesh Lo Iker Min HaTorah. And then we have Rabbi Akiva Shita, and there are others who agree with Rabbi Akiva that Tchumen is Doraisa. Anyway, I just pointed out this right with you because it throws a whole different perspective on our sugi. Abaye wants to deal with Rav Yosef's Brisa in a different way. B'shayara, afilu chove shekonsa shvisa umayim shekonu shvisa, shalo b'shayara b'chove shekonsa shvisa umayim shalo konu shvisa. Abaye wants to assume, and this was what I was pushing for before, that the Mishnah, which allows even, according to Rav Yehuda, even in the case of a Yochid, who's not a Shayara, and this whole business of carrying Chutzut Chum, that's because, at least on a Doraisa level, we can apply the principle of Bittul. The Chavis has no status whatsoever, because the Mayim that it's holding on to is Lo Kanu Shvisa, and we're going to apply B'teila Chavis Le Mayim. However, the Braisa is talking about a different set of circumstances where both the Chavis and the Mayim were Kanu Shvisa. It's not that he drew the water on Shabbos from a spring. He had already drawn the water on Erev Shabbos. The water, therefore, is Kanu Shvisa Kiragle Habailim, and therefore there's no possibility of applying Bittul. Now, you have to understand that according to Abaye, the Braisa is introducing a Chiddush. And that Chiddush is that Shayora has a tremendous weight in Halacha to allow a leniency, a Kula, according to Rabbi Yehuda. And once we can introduce a, what I call a trade Rabbanon, like a Shvus to Shvus, meaning number one, we're talking about Erev Tchumen, which is the Rabbanon. Number two, we're talking about a Mayim Shalo Kadosh Shvisa, which we can apply Bittul on a Daraisa level, and the Chavis is Betela to the Mayim. Now, Shayara is the Tzad HaShlishi, is the Kosva HaShlishi HaMachriya Beinayim, and for the sake of the Shayara that's suffering from the lack of water, we're going to violate the Iser Tchumen, but only the Iser Tchumen, which is not really an Iser Tchumen, because there was no Kinyan Shvisa, because the Mayim is bought, the Chavis is bought to the Mayim. In the case of the Braisa, we're talking about both Mayim and Chavis that were Kona Shvisa on Erev Shabbos. We have a full-fledged violation of the Iser Tchumen Derabbanan, and the Machlokas, the recorded in this Braisa between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chacham, revolves around Shayara. Will we be lenient and violate an Iser Chutzlutchum for the sake of a Shayara? Rav Ashi Omar, another interpretation of this Braisa, and how to reconcile the Braisa with that Mishnah, is Bechavis Dehefker Askinon Umayim Dehefker Askinon. Fascinating. Rav Ashi wants to know this principle that we derive from the Gemara at the end of Masechta Beitza, that Kalim and Behema Kanu Shvisa Karagle Habailim. What does it mean? Does it mean Ragle Habailim in Hilchas Choshen Mishpat, that these Kalim or this Mayim or these Behemos belong to me because I acquired ownership on them in one method or another and I can sell them on the open market? Lafuki Hefker. But in the case of Hefker, even though the Mayim is in my possession, we will not apply the principle of Kona Shvisa LaBailim, because Bailim requires the real McCoy Bailim. And that's a machlokes, as we'll soon see, between Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri and the Chacham. And the application of that machlokes is here in our Mishnah between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chacham. So our Mishnah is talking about a case of a Chavis de Hefker and Mayim de Hefker. And according to the assumption here of Rav Ashi, since there's no real Bailim, therefore they're not Kona Shvisa. And if they're not Kona Shvisa, then we can understand why Rabbi Yehuda would be Mekil, because there's no Iser Tchumen. The Iser Tchumen here in carrying the water from here to there is based on the fact that Reuven, the owner of the water, is Kona Shvisa Kiraglov, but now, and now you don't take the water outside of his Kinyan Shvisa, instead of to the Mizrach, you take it to the Mayrov. But nevertheless, there is no Bailim. With all due respect to Reuven, he doesn't own the water. It's water of Hefker. V'man Amrulo, and meaning who are those who disagree with Rabbi Yehuda, and they hold that the Chavis and Mayim, even though it's Hefker, nevertheless, Hakona Shvisa v'mkomam, And the Gemara answers, that's Rabbi Yochanan ben Nurihi. The Yomar Chefze Hefker Konim Shvisa, that if a person has possession over objects, he never acquired monetary, legal, Choshim Mishpatika ownership over these objects. They still technically Hefker. Nevertheless, the object is considered in the reshus of the person who's holding on to the object, such that now it's Konim Shvisa, Kiragle Habailim. Umay, and what does it mean when Rabbi Yochanan says, "Lo tahalech zu yoser miragle habaalim"? And it means "Lo yahalchu elu." Again, the zu is a little problematic because if we're going like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, and the Rabbanan here are standing on the shoulders of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, applying his principle that even in the case of Nichsei Hefker, nevertheless, Konim Shvisa Ke Ragle Abailu, if that be the case, why do they say Zu? Zu is in the singular, as if to isolate the Chavis. Bishlam, according to all the other Amoraim that interpret that Mishnah as referring to Mayim that were not Kona Shvisa. And therefore the only problem here would be in the Chavis. So the Rabbanan are saying to Rabbi Yehuda, that lo ta'alich zu, that you cannot transport the zu, meaning the chavis, because the chavis was kona shvisa ki ragli abayla. But if you're holding like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, and the Rabbanan would not differentiate at all between the mayim and the chavis, because in both cases they're hefker, but in both cases they're kona shvisa ki ragli abayla, because Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri's principle, if that be the case, then why zu? It shouldn't have been zu. And the answer is that lo yahalchu elu, so we're going to have to change the zoo to an elu, yosef mikalim sheyesh lahem bayil. So the zoo is referring to either the chavis or the mayim, and either of them have the same status as kalim sheyesh lahem bayil, meaning the fact that the chavis is hefker, the fact that the mayim is hefker, is totally irrelevant. If you want to focus your attention on the chavis, I'm going to tell you it's like kalim sheyesh. If you want to focus your attention on the Mayim is like Kalim Sheishlan Bailim, because Hefker is an irrelevant factor, according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, in terms of Kinyan Shvisa, to generate a Nisa Chutz L'Tchum, because it's in the possession of someone. Who's ever in possession, no, literally Bershuso, it doesn't mean it's his, he doesn't own it. If somebody would grab it, he would not violate a Nisa Gzela. But nevertheless, it's in his reshus, it's under his domain, under his control. And whether or not you want to talk about the chavis who's in the domain under the control of this Reuven, we'll call him, or the mayim, it's irrelevant. Both of them can be described as lotalich zu, yosim and abaylim, iragli abaylim. Why? Because they are being equated to kalim sheyesh lahem baylim. And this is the sheet of the chachamim. Rabbi Yehuda, on the other hand, rejected Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, and our machlokus about passing on this chavis, chutz l'tchumo shel Ruvein, is simply another application of the general machlokus between Chachamim and Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri about the status of nichsei hefker. Are they kona shvisa l'bailim, or are they not kona shvisa l'bailim? Now, in terms of some sort of a conceptual framework as to why yes or why no in the case of Nichsei Hefker, I would have to go back to a different machlokas about Kinyan Shvisa, where the Kinyan Shvisa is itself a monetary Kinyan, or is it just an Erevin Halacha? And the fact that you could be Kona Shvisa Bein HaShmoshos, and we have the Shita the Chachom against Rebbe, they call Masha Osru Chachomim Mishum Shvus Osru Afilu Ben HaShmoshos, then the whole entity of Eruv is very much in question, because the Eruv requires a Kinyan Shvisa at the moment of the onset of Shabbos, which is Ben HaShmoshos. How can you allow for a Kinyan of Ben HaShmoshos when Kol Masha Osru Chachomim Mishum Shvus, any Kinyan is prohibited Ben HaShmoshos? So imagine, Rabosai, it's 7 p.m. and the sun is set, and we're in a Bein HaShmoshos period for the next 20 minutes, and it's Friday afternoon. Am I allowed to make a Kinyan at that point? Next machlok shin chachomim Rebbe, whether kol mash osu chachomim mishum shvus osu ben hashmoshot. So if you hold like the chachomim of Rebbe, then the whole institution of being konish shvisa on ben hashmoshot is problematic. But the answer is that that's not called a kinyan that was included in the shvus derabbanon. Derabbanon, we're talking about full fledged kinyanim. In fact, there's the head to the Nesivis that if you made a kinyan on Erev Shabbos and the Chalos kinyan, you know, let's say what's called a kinyan le'achar zman. Oh, you know what? I'm getting off on a tangent. But the point is that unless you made a full-fledged kinyan with what would qualify as a Maisa kinyan in Kol Dinei Bab Metziah, it would not be prohibited through the Shvus of Erev Shabbos. And here too, we find another example of a quote-unquote kinyan that is not a choshen mishpatik kinyan. So for example, if you hold like the chachamim of Rabbi Yehuda, which is the shita of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, the way Rabbi Ashi presents it, then we're going to say that a hefker is konesh visa kiragle abailin. How could that be? You don't even own this object. And now you're telling me this object was Kona Shvisa? The answer is because Kinyan Shvisa is not a Choshen Mishpatik of Kinyan Shvisa. It's a different kind of a Shvisa. It's a different kind of a Kinyan. It's a Kinyan Linyan Tchum and Linyan Erevin. But it's not a Kinyan by measures of Kol HaTorah Kula. And therefore, Nichsei Hefker could be Kona Shvisa. Why should Nichsei Hefker be Kona Shvisa? After all, nobody technically owns it, and there's no Isik Zela. So in Choshen Mishpat terms, it's not a kinyan. But the answer is that the laws that govern kinyanin, as far as shvisa is concerned, are not what we call din klali of hilchas kinyanim and called din yatar, but rather din misuyam. It's like we once discussed, if you remember, bittel on chametz, according to the Ramban. I mean, what is bittel? You need, the Tosu says you need hefker. You know, if bittel's mitam hefker, you need bifnei shlosha, and yet bittel doesn't require bifnei shlosha. Also, bittel b'lev is work. So the answer is that bittel is on the shem chametz. It's like a unique, special halacha of bittel that doesn't conform with the normal, universal halachas of kinyan. And now we're up to the Mishnah here, on the bottom of Daf Tzadi Zayin, Amud Beis. And this Mishnah already brings us back to Masechta Shabbos. We know that there are four Rishuyos in Shabbos. There's Rishus HaYochid, Rishus HaRabim. There's Karmelis, and there's something called the Makom Ptur. And now we have to define each Rishus unto itself. And this is going to come up in the discussion in the Gemara here and its interpretation of the Mishnah. Now, in the case of Karmelis, just reiterate what we know. You're not allowed to carry from a Rishus HaYochid into a Karmelis, or vice versa, from a Karmelis out into Rishus HaYochid. Nor are you allowed to carry from a Rishus HaRabim into a Karmelis, or from a Karmelis out into a Rishus HaRab. Karmelis becomes a kind of an androgynous of sorts. It gets the status of Rishus HaYochid L'chumra as far as Rishus HaRabim is concerned, and a Karmelis gets the status L'chumra of Rishus HaRabim as far as Rishus HaYochid is concerned. Our Mishnah is going to address the case where we allow you to take something from one Rishus into another Rishus, when the Issur would have only been Dirabbanon. And this is for the sake of a Sefer. Sefer means a Sefer that's endowed with Kedusha. So the Mishnah says, Ayakore b'Sefer, Al Ha'iskupa. He's standing at the threshold of his bias. And the Gemara is going to vacillate whether this is Kupa has the status of the bias itself as a Rishus HaYochid or it's already a Karmelis. And Nisgalgel HaSefer Miyodo. So their Sfarim were obviously in a scroll form. And half of the scroll he's left holding within his hand. The other half is now in the airspace of the Iskupa. Gololo Etzlo. He's allowed to roll the Sefer Torah, and that part of the Sefer that's in the Iskupa, he can bring it back into his hands. And the Gemara is going to analyze why he's allowed to do this Is this called an Akira from Rishus HaRabim? If we assume the Eskupa is like the outside of his Rishus HaYochid, of his house, and if that be the case, why were they so permissible in allowing Gololo Etzlo if the Eskupa, on a Doraisa level at least, has the status of Rishus HaRab? Hayakori Barosh HaGag. Now the case is where he's reading a Sefer while he's standing in a Rishus HaYochid on top of the Gag. In the first case, he was standing in the Eskupa, but now he's standing on the Gag when it's Galgal HaSefer Miyodo. Now clearly the Sefer is in the Avir of Rishus HaRabim. The other half of the Sefer he's holding onto his hands. Is Ad Shelo Yigiel Asar Tfachim, if the Sefer has not fallen from his hands into the height, the airspace that is less than 10 tefachim high from the ground, is then golo etzel, because it's now above 10 tefachim, and Rishus HaRabim is only ola 10 tefachim. Therefore, by taking the Sefer from the Avir Rishus HaRabim above 10 tefachim, he's not considered carrying it from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYochid. But Mishigel Asar Tefachim, if the Sefer fell to within the 10 tefachim of airspace of the karka of Rishus HaRabim, it's considered like it's in Rishus HaRabim, and you're not allowed to be golul. However, we do want to minimize the bizoyon to the Sefer Torah. Therefore, hofcho al aksav, he will turn the Sefer Torah in such a way that the written letters of the Sefer Torah are facing the inside, like the wall itself. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, afilu eno mesulak min haaretz elikamelo machad golo etzla. Rabbi Yehuda says we're going to allow him to roll the Sefer Torah back up to the Gag, even if there's the smallest airspace that separates the end of the Sefer, meaning the Sefer as it fell, from the Aretz. And the gigantic question here is, aren't we violating some sort of an Issa D'Oraisa? And the answer is going to be that Gololo Etzlo is only an Issa D'Rabbanon, even in the case where he's taking it from Rishus HaRab to Rishus HaYochid. And the Rabbanon are only going to insist on that Issa D'Rabbanon if the Sefer is actually sitting on the karka, on the ground of Rishus HaRab. But here there's a separation of Kimlo HaMachat, which is like a nothing, you know, it's just the smallest amount you could imagine. And it's not considered Nach Birshus HaRab, and therefore Golo Etzel, the Rabbanon are going to permit it. Once it's sitting on Birshus HaRab, then it's Osir. Rav Shimon Omer, Afilu Ba'aretz Atzmo, he's going to go a step further, and he's going to say that even if the Sefer is landed on Birshus HaRab, meaning that side of the Sefer, the end of the Sefer, is Golo Etzel, Ein Lecha Dor Mishum Shvus, Omei B'nei Kisvei HaKodesh, for the sake of protecting the covet of the Sefer Torah, the Chacham who mevatel all exeros. And now, since he's only being golel, which is not a full-fledged akira, he's not lifting up the Sefer, he's only dragging the Sefer up to his hands on the roof. That's only a shvus to Rabbanon, and the Rabbanon completely mitigated their shvusim for the sake of covet HaTorah. The Gemara asks, Hai eskupe echi domi? What exactly is the status of this Iskupa? Ilema Iskupa Rishus HaYochid. If we're going to assume that this Iskupa is not just a threshold, but it's really their doors are not like our doors. Our doors go all the way to the bottom, to the floor, with a very small piece of hefsek of avir. In those days, they used to have, I don't know what to call it, it's a little bit more like a window than a door, which would mean that there was a high threshold, and the door, you'd have to sort of climb in over the threshold to get inside. And that could make the threshold, if it's wide enough, tall enough to be a Rishus HaYochid. So that if we go back to our Mishnah, and our Mishnah says, HaYakari B'Seif Al-Eskupa V'Nisgalgal HaSeif V'Yodu Golo Etzlo, then it's very possible that he is standing in a Rishus HaYachid. Why? Because the Iskupa itself is Rishus HaYachid. Now you'll ask me, how could the Iskupa possibly be Rishus HaYachid? And the answer is going to be that this Iskupa has a height to it of 10 Tfachim. He might have steps that lead to the Iskupa, which make it easier for him to go into the Rishus HaYachid, into his house. But the Iskupa itself is very high. So you imagine you have an area of a, let's call it a pillar of wood, which is the backbone of these steps, and that pillar of wood actually, which is called an eskupa, if it's wide enough, it's 4 tefachim wide, is 10 tefachim high. So the Gemara rejects this. This could not be the pshat in our Mishnah. Why? Ilema eskupa rishus hayachid. The kama means in front of it. The kama rishus harabim, meaning on the other side of this kupa is a public domain. And that means that part of the Sefer has rolled off the Iskupa, meaning it's beyond the airspace of the Iskupa, and it's already entered into the airspace of Rishus HaRabim. The Lo Gazrinan Dilma Nofil V'Asil Esuye. And now what the Mishnah is telling me is that we're not afraid that maybe the top of the Sefer, if I can call it that, the part that he's holding on, if he loosens his grip, he will drop the Sefer in such a way that the Sefer is now completely in Rishus HaRabim, right? Because you have the Skupa, he's up there on top holding on to his Sefer. If he drops the Sefer will presumably fall on the other side of the Skupa, landing in Rishus HaRabim. And he's going to Asi Lesuye. He's going to bring the Sefer Torah back into the Iskupa. And the Iskupa, now we said, has the status of Rishus HaRabim, of Rishus HaYachid. So how could you allow him, in the case where the Sefer Torah did not land in the Rishus HaRabim itself, to carry the Sefer back, so to speak, by dragging it back, when if he would have dropped it, and he would be tempted to grab it back, he would be violating a Malacha D'oraisa of Hotzah, unless we introduce the Shita Rav Shimon. And that's here on the top of Daf Sadi Ches Amud Aleph. Mani, Rabbi Shimon di Omar, kol dover shu bishum shvus, eino omeid bifnei kisvei HaKodesh. So we already mentioned this before, Rabbi Shimon in the Sefer of our Mishnah, but this is very odd because now we're interpreting the Reish of the Mishnah. And in the middle of the Mishnah, we have the Shita Rabbi Yehuda from the Gag. And it's very odd that you start with Rabbi Shimon, end with Rabbi Shimon, in the middle you wedge Rabbi Yehuda. That's not a very symmetrical kind of Mishnah. So now the Reish of the Mishnah is reflecting the Shita Rabbi Shimon, Davashu Mishum Shvus. Eino omeid bifnei kisvei HaKodesh. So he's allowed to be machzir the Sefer to the Iskupa, even though the Sefer is partially in Rishus HaRabim. He's allowed to take it back to the Iskupa. If the entire Sefer would fall into Rishus HaRabim, and Chas V'Shalom, he would carry the Sefer back into the Iskupa, he would be violating a Malacha D'oraisa. So we have to have a Shvus, and we have to insist that he's not allowed to carry the Sefer Torah from partially being in Rishus HaRabim and carry it into the Rishus HaYachid of the Iskupa because of the possibility that he might do so even if the Sefer in its entirety would fall on the ground, which is Rishus HaRabim, and then he would violate Malachas Hotzah. We're going to insist that this Shvus does not apply in the case of Sifrei Kodesh. For the sake of Kisvei HaKodesh, says Reb Shimon, we will not apply Shvusim. And whatever we have to violate, which would normally be a Shvus, for the sake of avoiding the bizayon of a Sefer Torah, for the dignity and the covet of the Sefer Torah, we're going to say, no, all Shvusim are gone. Is Ema Sefer. But then we have a machlokus in the Sefer between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. So shall we say that the Reisha is Rabbi Shimon, the Seifa is Rabbi Yehuda, and then the Mishnah comes back to Rabbi Shimon at the very end? And the Gemara says that that's not something that we are very comfortable with. And the note says here, I wanted to point out to you, based on Rashi, that Il Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, Hare Omer Sharakim as Sefer, Lono Geb Karka, Shal Rishus Arabim, Oz Yocholach Zero Elov. Rabbi Yehuda holds that you have to guarantee that the Sefer didn't reach the Karka, and touch the Karka and land on the Karka. Mishum Shabofin Ze Ein Lachshosh Sheyavo Lach Zero Elov Afkshenofa Kulo Miyodo. So he says that this restriction, this condition that Rabbi Yehuda sets, that it has to be less than on the Karka, that's going to guarantee and calm us down that he won't come to carry it back when it's completely out of his hands. And Ein Lachshosh Yavo Lach Zero Elov Afkshenofel Kulo Miyodo Meachar V'Eino Doma Lazeh Klal Sharei Eino Nogea Klal B'Karka Rishus Harab. So this is enough of a distinction that will remind him that he shouldn't make that jump and make the analogy between a case where he's rolling it and a case where it's actually on the floor and he's picking it up. In Higia Kotze Echad Shala Sefer LeKarka, if on the other hand part of the Sefer actually touched the Karka on its end, then Asur Midrabbanan Lach Zero Elav. Even though he's holding on to the other end of the Sefer, it's still an Issa Drabbanan, and that's Gzeres Shema Yavo Lach Zero Afim Nofal Kulo Miyod LeKarka Rishus Harab. So that is a Gzeres Drabbanan, but we're going to allow this Gzeres Drabbanan for the sake of the Sefer. So let's see where we're up to. We're here on the top of Daf Tzadiches Amin Aleph. We're up to the end of the second line. Ema Sefer Mitzvah Shem. We'll pick that up tomorrow.